So this is a story I wrote a couple of years ago as a sort of belated wedding present for a friend of mine. It's called The Fairy Godmother's Tale. The mountains of Terramon stood in the east, their peaks like castle spires piercing the clouds. And if you followed the line of the mountains down through the green valley and over to the west, there was the Sea of Garamond, where gray-green waves crashed upon the rocky shores, where seals and their pups lolled in the sunshine. But this wasn't the midday, with the warm sun shining down on those pups. This was evening, dusk, and it was gray. And there Winifred stood in an ancient courtyard. For you see, this was Winifred's realm. She wasn't a queen, she wasn't a princess, she wasn't an empress, she wasn't even the mayor of some little burg. She was fairy godmother of the realm, from the mountains of Terramond in the east to the Sea of Garamond in the west, province 8B, in the terms of the realm. And there she stood that evening, looking down at the shining blonde head of the young maiden in her tattered rags. She took her wand, dutifully waved it over her head, transforming her tattered rags into a gown threaded with gold and silver. The young maiden looked at herself and thanked the fairy godmother before running off to her castle, her prince, her happily ever after. Winifred, for her part, didn't wait to see that happily ever after. She'd seen so many of them before. She took her wand again and transported herself back into her own humble cottage, where there was an overstuffed chintz armchair. She waved her wand yet again, and a cup of hot chamomile tea appeared in her hand. What is wrong with me? I should be the happiest person on the face of the earth. I mean, I have the greatest job ever. I get to fulfill people's dreams on a daily basis. So why am I so tired and unhappy? Where's my happily ever after? And the truth was, she didn't know. She knew for sure she didn't want one of those insipid princes or princesses that everybody else was wishing for. And as she thought these things, her thoughts somehow entwined with the steam from the chamomile tea, going up, up, up to the rafters, across the room to the hearth, where they entwined again with the smoke in the fire, up the chimney and into the night air, where it coalesced with a bit of starlight and magic, transforming itself into a small slip of paper that slipped down, down, down in the evening breeze and slipped underneath the door. Fairy godmothers are trained to notice any little bit of magic, so Winifred saw the piece of paper immediately and began to read. "Are you tired of granting wishes from dawn till dusk?" "Yeah." "Join the newly formed Fairy Godmothers Union. For more information, contact Glyneth, Fairy Godmother of the Realm, Province 3F, from the Mountains of Courage in the west to the River of Hope in the east." That's it. She whisked herself east past the Mountains of Tarragon, east again past the Mountains of Courage, until finally she appeared in a small fairy godmother's cottage situated near the River of Hope. There, other fairy godmothers were rapidly blinking in all around her. The room was soon full. They took their wands again and pushed the walls magically outward to make room, until soon there were more fairy godmothers gathered there, shoulder to shoulder, than she had ever seen in her life. Well, at least since boarding school, but never mind that. The excitement in the air was palpable, and soon one of their number stood up upon a chair and began to speak. "Sisters, I am Glyneth, and I am tired. The fairy godmothers erupted in a roar of cheers. You're all fairy godmothers now. And Glyneth continued to speak. There was something about her, a kind of Michael D. McCarty charisma that he had. I don't know if it was the way she spoke, or maybe it was the purple spiked hair on her head, but Glyneth couldn't keep her eyes off, Winifred couldn't keep her eyes off Glyneth. And so it didn't matter that the ambient noise was so strong that she couldn't really hear the speech, and except for the occasional sisterhood and empowerment. So that finally, when Glyneth said to the rest of the fairy godmothers, "Who will join me?" she joined in the rousing chorus of cheers, saying, "I will! I will! I will!" And that, ladies and gentlemen, is how the struggle began. Soon, Glyneth's little cottage was Union headquarters, and every day after a long day of granting wishes, the fairy godmothers would gather there to strategize. But day after day, who could blame some of the fairy godmothers who were heard to say that, well, the day-to-day work of activism, much like the day-to-day work of fairy godmothering, was a little less glamorous than they had first thought. And they were tired, after all, after a long day's work, so one by one, they just stopped showing up. And all that remained were the true believers. Winifred was a true believer. But even Winnie grew tired. I mean, because there were certain things that you could do with magic. Sure, you could whisk your wand about and poof, there was a bunch of protest signs. But with every wave of your wand, your magical reserves went yet lower. And there were certain things that you just couldn't do with magic. Phone calls, for example. I mean, if you called one of the other magical creatures of the realms, the wood nymphs, the bridge trolls, the dragons in the caves, well, and they sensed that this was a magical automated call, they would just hang up on you. It really took that one-to-one personal contact. And so even Winifred was getting tired. But it seemed that every time she was about to lose hope, suddenly there was Glyneth to put a hand on her shoulder and say, "Winnie, thank you. You were doing so much." And suddenly her spirits would rise and she'd have the energy to go on yet another day. But eventually, even Glyneth grew tired. Now maybe the rest of the fairy godmothers didn't notice because they too were tired. Maybe they didn't notice because, well, they just expected Glyneth to always be their leader. But Winnie noticed. And so it was she that was there the day that Glyneth collapsed, and she gathered her up in her arms, and before anyone could see, she whisked them back to her own cottage, where she laid her in bed, placed a magical kiss on her forehead, and sent her into a deep and restful sleep. Then she looked in the mirror, took that wand, and cast a spell of glamour about herself so that now she appeared not as herself, but as Glyneth, purple spiked hair and all. And from that day forward, no one was the wiser that it was Winnie, not Glyneth, who led the marches, who led the rallying cries. And soon enough, word of this reached the administration. But who in administration? Sally. Now you see, Sally was middle management. Sally had been a fairy godmother herself back in the day, but it was the day-to-day drudgery of fairy godmothering that had caused her to seek a job in the administration in the first place. And Sally was really overworked. I mean, there had been furloughs and years of pay cuts. Her suit at one time, when she first got the job, looked pretty crisp, but that was back in the 80s, and you know, the shoulders were kind of like this, even though she tried to take those shoulder pads out. Her straw blonde hair, well, it hadn't been styled in years, and it was kind of the color of straw before it spun into gold. She looked at the petition, but she knew they were right. No one should have to make them fulfill every single wish. No one should be able to set the hours that they worked. They had certain inalienable rights. And so she knew she had to take this petition to the upper administration. She steeled herself, walked into the great hall, and presented the petition. Now, you see, upper administration, they were magicians and giants and dragons and other powerful beings who were kind of out of touch with the day-to-day workings of most magical creatures. The administration had originally been set up to protect the rights of all, but somehow along the way, they'd lost their way and ended up just protecting the rights of the few. And so, of course, when they looked at it, they scoffed. And it was the Grand Wizard, the magistrate who ran the whole upper administration, who finally said, "They have their own magic. Let them find their own happily ever after," and brought down his gavel. Sally walked out of the administration and realized that she wasn't just sad. She was angry. Her sisters had a right to have the lives they wanted, and there was something about what that last wizard said, "Let them find their own happily ever after," that sparked a memory in her. She went back to her office and took down the legal text and began to read, till she found it right there in the words of the founders. She carefully marked the page, took her wand, and transported herself before anyone was the wiser into the Capitol Square. Back at Union headquarters, there were murmurs that something was about to happen. Administration was about to speak. But who in administration? Sally? Sally from middle school? That Sally? Never mind, this was their moment. And so Winnie took her wand, transported herself back to her cottage, placed another magical kiss on Glynis's forehead, and began to explain the ruse she had undertaken to continue the fight. And Glynis, the sparkle started returning to her eyes and then softened a little with tears, and she reached up and stroked Winnie's cheek and said, "Thank you, Winnie." And together they each took their wands and in a synchronous gesture transported themselves to the Capitol Square just as Sally stood up to the podium to speak. Every creature has the right to their own happily ever after. And what constitutes that right is your own heart's truest desire. The crowd erupted in a roar of cheers. Yeah. And for their part, Glynis and Winnie, they suddenly looked at each other at the same time. And in that moment, they realized that their own happily ever after was each other. And they kissed again. And this time, it was different kind of magic entirely. And from that day to this, fairy godmothers have served to remind us that we should each seek our own happily ever afters, and whenever possible, stand together against those who would seize the happiness that is our birthright.